I'm not a Christian at all. Yeah, that's right. People are telling me you don't even have to pay the jizz fee. And I don't think I would because I'm technically not a Christian. But there's a glitch here. I'm going to get into that with you here today. Hello, folks. Martin Zender. This is the jizya. It's not a fee. It's a tax. The jizya is required for non-Muslim residents. Although the rules that we've been reading from ISIS on this particular town, this is on a particular city of Qaryatan. That's the only city right now where ISIS has issued 11 commandments. And this is all going to end pretty soon, folks. I'm going to tell you why and how. But for now, I need to finish up this list and how happy I am with most of this stuff here. So the jizya, which is a tax, and I like to call it the jizz tax. It's just me. It comes from the Ottoman Turkish Empire. It's a religiously required per capita tax levied by a Muslim state on non-Muslim subjects permanently residing in Muslim lands under Islamic law. Okay, this was only to be permanently, if you're a permanent resident. But this is the discrepancy I had. It says on non-Muslim subjects. But when I go to glennbeck.com, who has given us all 11 commandments of ISIS, it says this: wealthy Christians must pay an annual jizz tax of 4 gold dinars. Middle-class Christians must pay 2 gold dinars. And the poor must pay 1. So I'm a poor Christian, even if they think I was a Christian. I would show them my books. How to quit church without quitting God. I have a book on tap called Christianity is a Mental Disorder. So I would show them that book, and I think that would get me out of the jizz tax. But if not, it's only 1 dinar for me, because I would definitely qualify as poverty-stricken. So the good news there is 1 dinar is only $169. This is a gold dinar. This is not your everyday average dinar, because it takes 2,000 of those to equal 1 U.S. dollar. We're talking about the gold dinar. That would be $169. So, you know, that costs less than my Planet Fitness membership, which is pretty inexpensive, $19.95 a month. I quit the YMCA, which was $50 a month, so I cut my fitness fee in half. But the jizz fee, the jizz tax, that'd be a different matter. So I'm not too worried about that. And besides, I doubt I would be a permanent resident anyway. I'm not planning anytime soon to move to any Middle Eastern country. Now, back to these 11 commandments. We left off with the jizz tax. And number 8, there's 4 more left. They may not own guns. Christians in this town may not own guns. For me, that's no problem. As you know, I'm a peaceful person. I'm what you call a pacifist. I don't like loud noises. I don't like any loud noises. So I've never shot a gun. I don't want to shoot a gun. I hate movies where guns are shot. And most adventure movies, James Bond movies, Fast and Furious, there's car wrecks and gunfire. I hate gunfire. I remember somebody told me that I really like this war movie. I mean, you could imagine what a war movie does to me. So it's difficult for me to go through the unveiling of Jesus Christ, except that the locusts don't make much noise. It's more like white noise, the locusts. And I don't think when the horsemen, the supernatural cavalry, go forth to kill a third of humanity, I think it's relatively quiet. So I can tolerate that. It's the gun blasts that just make me nuts. I can't stand the violence. So no problem me not owning guns. Number 9, they may not engage in, this is tough for me. I admit this is going to be the hardest thing. They may not engage, Christians can't, in the city of Qaryatan, whatever it is. They may not engage in commercial activity involving pigs or alcohol with Muslims or in Muslim markets, and may not drink alcohol in public. Commercial activity involving pigs. I have been thinking in the back of my mind for years now that I need to start a pig farm. And I'm free to do that in the United States. But were I to find myself in a Muslim country or in this particular city, I would not be allowed to have any commercial activity, but I could give away the pigs because that would not be commercial. Leave it to me. I'd find a loophole. They would come after me and say, what's with these pigs? I say, I'm giving them away. It's non-commercial. I haven't made a dollar. In fact, I've lost money on the pigs, and I think they would think that was all right. According to this, commercial activity or alcohol. I was going to have a beer stand associated with my pig farm, but I wouldn't do that in a Muslim country. I have no desire to have any commercial activity involving alcohol unless I give the money to procure the alcohol. And if I do that, I cannot drink alcohol in public. That's fine. I'm good with that. You know what? I don't need to do that. That's great. I'll be happy to adhere to that. Number 10, they may. This is what Christians can do in this town. They may maintain their own cemeteries. I've always wanted the Zender Cemetery, the Martin Zender Cemetery. And so I can do that. That will not be prohibited me. So that makes me feel good. As you know, I became a great fan of cemeteries when I was in Winburg, Pennsylvania, when there were so many cemeteries and funeral homes. The city is really overrun with cemeteries and funeral homes. And there are more people living under the ground in Winburg, Pennsylvania, than above the ground. Number 11, this is the last point. They must abide, that is Christians. This is assuming I even am one, which I'm not. Anyway, if they said, yes, you're a Christian, all right, well, I must abide by ISIS dress code and commerce guidelines. Now, the ISIS dress code, I have looked this up because this could be dodgy for me. So let me see, what am I doing? Okay, let me see, where is Islamic dress code for men? Now, we know the Islamic dress code for women is just terrible. Must cover entire body except hands and face. Covering the face with a niqab is optional and perhaps even preferred. Must wear a kimar that covers the head, neck, and bosom. Should wear a jibab that enshrouds the entire body and covers any open spots. Clothing must not be tight or transparent. Wearing such clothing defeats the purpose of covering the body. Brilliant. Women must wear hijab in front of all non-mahram men. I'm from a website, IslamicLearningMaterials.com. Here's what I would have to adhere to were I a Christian in a Muslim community. For men, the rules of Islamic dress are much less restrictive. That's good. That means I can wear transparent clothing. I have a whole closet full of transparent clothing, so this is good for me, but no less important, that's of course. One might think this is unfair, that the men's clothing is less restrictive than the women's, but it makes complete sense. I'm quoting now from the website. Quite simply, men just don't have as many goodies as women. Now, I resent this. This is sexism. This is sexist. I don't have as many goodies as women? I beg to differ. I'm tempted to take my shirt off here, but I'm not going to. Not as many goodies as women. This is sexist. I object to it. Nevertheless, let's go on. Men are attracted to several aspects of a woman's body. Yes, that's true. Even her legs and thighs are considered sex objects. That is not true. I don't consider any part of a woman's body a sex object. It's like if a woman's leg was sitting by itself somewhere, I'm going to worship the leg and ask the woman to go to lunch? What is this? There's no part of a woman's body that's a sex object. Sorry, I was back there on the bosom. There's no part of a woman's body that's a sex object to a good man. And this is just, it assumes so many wrong things about men. Men are required to cover their aura as well. A-W-R-A-H. I'm not going to let you see my aura. And if I want to leave my aura exposed, I'll do it. But only here. In a Muslim country, I can't do it. The aura for a man is from his navel to his knees. Oh, okay, from his navel. That's the whole shebang, starting at the belly button, down to the knees. However, this dress does not mean that men can walk around bare-chested either. Just when you thought you'd catch a break, it doesn't mean that. I can't walk around bare-chested as a Muslim, as a visitor. A man should also cover his shoulders and torso if he has the means to do so. But I'm a poor Christian. I only have to pay one gold dinar in a year, $169 a year as my fee for not being a Muslim, my penalty, my tax. If I have the means to do so, I could just say, I don't have the means. So my shoulders and torso would be exposed. I don't have the means. The Islamic dress code also forbids men from wearing gold and silk, as these are seen as effeminate. I won't do it. I don't have it. Ooh, I do have a silk shirt. I won't wear it. Men should also wear their pants. Okay. Oh, sorry, there's a comma. Men should also wear their pants or lower garment above their ankles. Like the floods used to wear in the 70s. Yeah, I could do that. I don't care about too much about being cool. I lie. Yes, I do care about it. This is to protect their clothes, dragging in filth, and prevent arrogant behavior. In the past, and sometimes nowadays also, men of high status would let their cloaks drag behind. Ooh, if I was in high status ever, in any world, and if I had a cloak, it would be dragging on the ground. Take that, you peasants, because you can see clearly that my cloak is dragging like a freaking train. Therefore, you shall respect me, because I'm a man of means. Otherwise, my clothing would be up near my calves, but it's not, is it? No, it's dragging. Pay homage to me. See me. Love me. I'm not interested. And just like women are forbidden from wearing men's clothing, the Islamic dress code also forbids men from wearing women's clothing. That's no problem. All right, so I think I got all that covered now, and I feel better about it. And I want you to know this, as we close today's show and we move on tomorrow, I think, to the characteristics of the beast. We'll see. We'll see where we go, but we're going to get back to those beasts. I want you to know that I am going to tell you exactly what's going to happen with the religious war we are now in. And we are in a religious war with Islam. No, they're in a war with us. We're in a defensive mode. I'm not a conspiracy guy, because this has been the goal of the Islam religion from way back. The Crusades were a result, I believe, of Islamic incursions into Christian lands. And so there has always been, this is not something dreamed up by the U.S. government, this has always been the, in many cases, stated objective of this religion, is to take over everybody else and make everybody else Islam. It's called a caliphate. And they're waiting for their own version of the Messiah, the 12th Imam, whose presence can be hurried into existence by creating chaos and havoc. And so that's what's happening today. The militants of this religion are trying to create environment of chaos and havoc that will hurry the coming of their Messiah. Those who adhere to the faith, the true faith of Christ, noticed I avoided saying Christians, they are also looking for a Messiah. It could be that there will be a false Messiah. Well, it's not that it could be. It will be. There will be a false Messiah. Very, very false. So deceptively false that it looks and has every characteristic of the real thing, but it's not the real thing. And those, there will be a few on earth at that time who will not sign up or take the mark of this wild beast religion, which ironically now, after all we've said, is not going to be the Islamic religion. It's not going to happen. They're not going to obtain their caliphate. No. Because they're going to be subjected by the Christian religion. And this is prophecy. And it is true. And it is decided already. And it will happen this way. And it's our privilege, given us by God, to look into the details of this coming conflict, coming conquest, and coming Christ. And this we will do by the grace of God.